What's your favorite song? Pinball. Oh, good one. Pinball Wizard. Yeah. What else? Some boys said, what is it? A little soda pop. Some boys last service said that. Yeah. Spirit in the Sky. Okay. What are some other ones? Favorite? That's a hard question. What is one of your favorite songs? It's a little easier. Good. What? Nice. Oh, yeah. Best drum fill of all time. That's great. So one of my favorite songs is Boys of Summer by the homegrown East Texas boy Don Henley. In the reflective lyrics, he says, out on the road today, I saw a deadhead sticker on a Cadillac. A little voice inside my head said, don't look back. You can never look back. So Donnie Boy says, don't look back. But sometimes it's good to reflect, right? So this month, as we celebrate the one-year anniversary of our church plant, we look back. We began weekly services ago. One year ago this month. It was in this same room, but it was very different. Right before that, we officially began in January 2024, meeting in small groups in homes or in a barn like this. Looking back before that was a conversation with James Anderson, the pastor of Dover Baptist Church, where we prayed and we sought God's guidance for the future of our churches, and then we flash forward to Dover gifting this facility and this land to Grace, bringing about Grace Community Church's Dover campus, where we gather today. Looking back a lot further, like 160 years back, we see Dover Baptist Church's first service on this land in 1865. Can you believe that? In another 100 years, there was another anniversary celebration, and I, for one, think we should bring back the severe decorum from that age. Back then, whispering, I'm quoting this, whispering and laughing were to be reproved. He was not having it. You had to have permission to leave the room. So just imagine the exact opposite of the last year that we've had, and that's what it was like. So the Tyler Telegraph praised the modern church building. The newspaper applauded its history. It said, founded on bedrock, uncompromising doctrine of sterner times, Dover Baptist Church and the Carroll community has endured for a century. What a milestone, 100 years. But it wasn't always easy. At the church's 145th anniversary, the Baptist Association noted that Dover Church has had its ups and downs, as is true with many churches. There was a time when talk of disbanding almost resulted in a vote. But Grandpa Gentry, as everyone knew him, refused to give up. By speaking the courage of his convictions, he convinced other members of the church not to take the vote. And because of faithful members like him, the church endured. The church endured. And in full honesty, the church endures because Jesus loves his church. He uses people like Grandpa Gentry to lead and encourage others and encourage them and urge them to endure. And today, our church is beginning a new sermon series based on the book of Hebrews where we will be encouraged to endure. And there's a hook. There's a hook that's going to grab us and pull us along through this whole series, and it's this, that Jesus is our help for today and our hope for tomorrow. Can we say that together? Jesus is our help for today and our hope for tomorrow. Good job. Good job. In time, we're going to say that like we really mean it with vigor, but that was a really strong start. So we're going to unpack this statement over the next 20 weeks together. And as we do, my prayer is that it would infiltrate our thinking and even our feeling, right? That the thoughts we have, the lie that today is hopeless, that it would be changed by this, right? And the fear we have that tomorrow is going to look just like today, that would be flooded with hope for tomorrow. And we can do that because of the way the book of Hebrews starts. So if you want to turn to Hebrews, it's towards the back of your Bible. It's kind of like parallel parking. You've got to pass it, go go all the way to the end, and then you can back up a little bit. If you hit Peter, you've gone too far. It's yay far through the Bible is where it is. This is verse 3. I'm going to read Hebrews 1, verse 3. It says, "The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven." So this tells us Jesus is our help. Today, he is sustaining everything by his power. He's helping us today. He's also our help and our hope for the future because he cleansed us from our sins. He forgave us of our sins. He restored our relationship with God, and then he sat down. You know why he sat down? Because his work was complete. His work of forgiveness and salvation was complete. It was final and it was finished. So because of that, the writer of Hebrews encourages us to endure. And the people he originally wrote this letter to, they were discouraged. So today, if you feel discouraged, this is very intentionally for you. Right? This group, Christianity had turned out to be harder than they thought. They wanted an easier life. They were tempted to go back to old habits, old ways of life. But the writer of Hebrews, much like Grandpa Gentry, encouraged them to endure. They were looking for help and hope in other places, but he said, no, your help for today and your hope for tomorrow is in Jesus. So do you relate to that original audience? The first people to get this letter, do you relate to them? Are you tempted to look for help and hope in places that might be easier? Did you start looking for help in a seemingly innocent behavior that's manifested itself into a disabling addiction? Maybe you've looked for hope in a relationship, or you thought you'd find help in more money, or better health, or making better grades, or in a new job title. What about hope? Maybe like the only hope you can imagine is that tomorrow just won't hurt like today. Did all this turn out to be harder than you thought, and you just are tempted to look elsewhere to find some help and some hope? Well, Hebrews says that right now, today, in this moment, Jesus is sustaining everything with his power. He has forgiven us of our sins, and he has sat down because his work is complete. So we can stop tearing apart our home looking for help. We can stop blowing up our life looking for hope because we have found it. It is in Jesus who is giving us help today and providing hope for tomorrow. So let's pause now, and I just want to pray that God would use these 20 weeks to change us. Let's pray. God, we are so grateful for your word that is alive, that is active today. We invite you, we welcome you to change us with it. And I know I first and foremost need to change. So I welcome you in my life. And I pray that there would be a noticeable difference in us, in this people, in this community, that we would be changed by your word. So have your way, Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're able, would you please stand? And I'm going to read our scripture for today. It's Hebrews chapter 1, the whole thing, verses 1 through 14. "Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets, and now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. And this shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. For God never said to any angel what he said to Jesus, 'You are my Son, and today I've become your Father.' God also said, 'I will be his Father, and he will be my Son.' And when he brought his supreme Son into the world, God said, let all of God's angels worship him. Regarding the angels, he says he sends his angels like the winds, his servants like flames of fire. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. You rule with a scepter of justice. You love justice and hate evil. Therefore, O God, your God has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else. He also says to the Son, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing. You will fold them up like a cloak and discard them like old clothing, but you are always the same. You will live forever. And God never said to any of the angels, sit in the place of the honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. So the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Take a seat. Take a seat. Take a load off your feet. What? Oh my. So the writer of Hebrews dives right into the deep end. Big old cannonball. I say the writer of Hebrews because we're not positive who wrote it. What we do know is he had an intimate knowledge of the Old Testament. As you can see here, he'll use it throughout the entire letter to support his points. He also knew and loved the people he was writing to because he wrote to them very intentionally and very sensitively. And most importantly, he knew the supremacy of Jesus. He teaches us a lot in this first chapter about Jesus. We're going to focus on four qualities. Four qualities of Jesus in Hebrews 1. Here we go. First one is Jesus is God's Son. I told you, he jumps right in the deep end. This changes everything. He says, this man, you've heard about Jesus, he is God's Son. Used to, before, God would speak through prophets, and now, in these final days, he's spoken to us through his Son. Right? God's love is shown through and spoken through his Son, Jesus. Next, Jesus is greater than angels. What? Like, where did this come from? Who's talking about angels? This is a very important key when you read the Bible to understand. When you're reading the Bible and it seems like something comes out of nowhere, out of left field, where does this come from? Think of the context. This letter was written to a group of believers. So obviously they had some issue going on with angels, not understanding their role, what they did. What's likely is that they felt that God was so far removed from them, they needed angels to intervene, right, to carry their prayers up to God. So the writer is saying, yeah, angels exist, you're right, but they are under Jesus. He's greater than them. So that was the context of this letter, right? He was putting everything in its appropriate place. That's the context of the letter. There is a forever lasting truth that exists for us today, and it's this. Angels exist. They are real. It tells us that. That should comfort us because they help us. But they do have a place, right? It says angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. It's Jesus who bridged the chasm between people and God. He filled that gap, right? We don't need an angelic conveyor belt taking our prayers up to God. This is not service merchandise. That's a deep pull. If you were born after like 1985, I'm sorry, you do not get that reference. I'm also sorry you missed out on service merchandise. Ask somebody with gray or no hair in the room about it. They'd love to tell you about it. The point is, we don't need angels to speak to God on our behalf. Because later in Hebrews, we're going to see that we have Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people. So Jesus is greater than angels. Next, it's a twofer, 2 points in one. Jesus is our help for today and our hope for tomorrow. He sustains everything by his power, helping us today. And he gives us hope for tomorrow because he has cleansed us from our sins. You know who has different definitions for sin? Probably everyone in this room. So let's define it clearly. I think this is helpful. Sin is anything that makes you further from God. Anything that you think about or do, and you find yourself further from God, for you, that is sin. It would be great if it were a nice, clean list. But it's personal. Right? There's some big, broad, big-ticket issues that are sin across the board. Murder, that's sin, right? Putting beans in chili? I don't know. If that offends you, go down. It says not putting beans in chili. So do with that whatever you will. So I don't mean to make light of sin. But the truth is, what we most often want to do is think about sin and think about the person sitting next to us. We want to think, oh, that person does this thing. That's called judging, which is sin. So what we need to do when it comes to sin is think of ourselves. That sin is anything that makes you further from God. But Jesus cleansed us. He freed us. He forgave us from our sin in order to bring us back to God. And he is now seated because that work is finished. It is final. It is sufficient. So when your faith and trust is in Jesus, you are forgiven and your relationship with God is restored. So Jesus is God's Son. He is greater than angels. He is our help for today and our hope for tomorrow. Now we're going to see Hebrews 12 tells us to take a new grip with your tired hands and mark out a straight path for your feet. So we're going to do this every week of this series. We're going to take a new grip. What that means is get a grip on this for ourselves, apply it to ourselves. This is application. Here's what the text is teaching. How does that apply to us today? Then to mark a straight path is identifying what we need to do, what we got to do to live this. So we're going to apply it. Then we're going to identify the action we need to take. So every week we're going to look at application and action. So let's try it now. Jesus is our help for today and our hope for tomorrow. Let's take a grip on it and ask, does your faith really help you? Like when there's tragedy in the news, when you feel overwhelmed, when you hurt, when maybe you just want to give up, is it your faith you turn to first? Because applying this truth to our lives means Jesus is sustaining everything by his power right now. So we can go to him and say, Jesus, I'm falling apart. So if you are holding everything together, would you please hold me together? Our world is falling apart. Would you hold it together? Or maybe I have already fallen apart. These are broken, shattered pieces of my life. Could you put them in the place you want them to be? This is a real truth that he is today holding everything together. So to apply this to our lives, know that we can go to him. Maybe that's the action you need to take. Maybe our first response hasn't been a healthy one. Maybe our first action needs to be to stop, to say, God, remind me of what's true, to go to him, to go to his truth. Maybe this is all foreign to you, and the action you need to take is consider Jesus' offer of forgiveness and salvation for you today. Because maybe the idea of hope is totally foreign to you. Maybe you've heard that Jesus has cleansed your sin and offered that, but you've never accepted it. My guess would be it's because of you, because of something you've done or haven't done. The great news is it's not because of you. Jesus has already done the work to cleanse your sin, and he has seated because it's complete. So it's not about you. It is actually about God's deep and unfailing love for you. So his offer of forgiveness and hope is given to you today. And if you don't know that, I would love to talk to you. You can feel free to talk to anyone who's been up here today, but it's alive and it's offered to you today. So where do you go for help and hope? And if it's anywhere other than faith in Jesus, what needs to change? Because I think the news this week was affirmation of our need for help and hope, right? The news this week was just a frame through which we saw heartbreak and darkness and evil. But our proximity to tragedy does not change God's character. Right? Seeing tragedy does not change who he is. A few days before his death, Charlie Kirk posted this message. He said, "Jesus defeated death so you can live." I don't think anyone would argue that evil exists, right? And the goal of darkness is to extinguish hope. Evil and darkness are real, but they do not win. Jesus sustains us, he has freed us, and he is still seated on the throne. He defeated death, and he wins. And he is our help for today and our hope for tomorrow. I've had some trouble with this microphone. I said Jesus defeated death and he wins, and he is our help for today and our hope for tomorrow. And if we can't celebrate that, there's not a lot we can celebrate. He is victorious. He wins. And when we follow him and we are on his team, we win. Darkness does not have the last word. Amen? Okay, well, occasionally I like to listen to new music just to feel out of touch, just to feel irrelevant and uncool. Very infrequently, I come across a song that's creative and good. Like recently, I found this song called Belong by this artist, Jonah Kagan. I do not know much about him. I can't endorse his whole catalog. This is a good song. I like it because the lyrics, they echo the simple but profound attraction of the gospel. He sings, "I don't belong here. You don't belong to me. I belong to you." Right? That's partly the gospel, right? We can't earn God's love. He freely gives it. He bought you with a high price, and you belong to him. And we'll see later on in Hebrews that those who follow Jesus, this is not our home. We're actually foreigners and nomads here on earth, looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. It's Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. So Jesus is the way to this better life, to a better future. This world is not our home, and we do not belong. So I saw the title of this song, and I listened to it with the title in mind, and it begins with the welcoming sound of birds singing. I thought, oh, that's cool, belong. It sounds like home. You know, it feels like you belong there. And then there was this dissonance. Spooky, right? That may not sound tense to you, but this note, it wants to belong. It wants to go home. Let me show you. Right, that's home. But it begins with this tension. The message of this whole song, aching to belong, is wrapped up in two notes. Right? And that's the tension we live in. Right? This world is not our home. It is marred by darkness and evil, and we need help. Right? We long for the hope of a better future, and it's all found in Jesus, our help for today and our hope for tomorrow. So let's stand and celebrate that.